Blog Talk Radio.
But in the meantime, they are criminals, and they should be treated like criminals. We should not be holding off on doing what needs to be done because we don't want to inconvenience their lives. This person.
So, Mallory.
Yes.
Did he get 3 months out of 6 months? Did he do 3 months out of the 6 months?
Yes. That's what they said yesterday. He is out. And the only thing that they say he has to register as a sex offender. But I'm saying the young woman.
School, huh?
Huh?
The time to go back to school, right?
He can do anything he wants to.
Oh, Lord.
He can go back to school. He can become a lawyer. Except I'm hoping that he can't become a judge now with that not being a sex offender. But you know he's on his own. I mean he's out. He's been not exonerated, but he doesn't do anything stupid in the next year. He's home free basically.
Well, this is Leslie Gibson. I'm glad you are holding the show down for me with such a wonderful topic. Well, not too wonderful, but an engaging one. An engaging topic, put it that way.
Yes.
So this is a lot. So we have this holiday weekend. Which holiday are we celebrating this weekend?
Labor Day.
We're
celebrating labor. We are celebrating the people who work for a living.
Mm-hmm. And Labor Day, as descendants of African slaves, we definitely are very sensitive to the word labor. Because, you know, we didn't get paid for our labor. So I guess that's one of the reasons why we subconsciously forget the name of the holiday.
Right. And I was just saying, I want to give you kudos for bringing up that information about Georgetown and their slave history. Because the first time I heard that was on your show. And then last night, Georgetown not only acknowledged that they had held slaves on their plantation, that they sold 274 people to plantation owners in the South so that they could pay their bills.
Isn't that something?
Telling Grandma, the first time I heard that was on Leslie Gist's show, so I want to give you kudos, girl. You do your research.
And I didn't know that.
Grandma, she's always saying, I didn't know that.
You guys are so cute. You're wonderful. You just light up my whole face and spirit when you say things like that. Because, you know, for some time I was embarrassed to be known as a slave lady and slave profanity, S-H-I-T. And people seemed like they were getting tired of hearing about it. And so I you know, what you're saying is very encouraging to tell me to keep going.
Yeah, keep going. So the first place I heard that, when you said that Georgetown owned slaves, and I was like, what? This is a Christian university.
Leslie.
We've been jumping up and down yelling.
Leslie,
go ahead, Grandma.
Keep going so the news can catch up with you.
You're too much. And I'm going to reshare the story. Because you said that, I'm going back to it right now, and I'm going to repost it. And I didn't think it was a big deal because it really wasn't well received, at least not on my page. I have only 36 people shared it. So I don't know if it made a difference, but what we wrote back on May 21st was a million questions for the slavers' beneficiaries at Georgetown University from the descendants of the survivors of slavery whom was sold to financially aid Georgetown. And this was in New York Times. So it talked about the lady, and it has some stats stories in it. I can't remember exactly, but it was pretty moving on how she found out about the property. She had lived in the town and didn't even know that her grandparents had something to do with that college. And it says William
has men, women, and children. I said, And these were the Christians. And we were jumping up and down yelling about the Muslims and how they're treating people, and our nice Christian university was selling
people.
Well,
I don't know if, you know, we can lump them as a Christian university. I didn't even know that's what they were, to be quite honest. I didn't know that was a Christian school or that they taught Christianity or stood for Christianity.
It's a Catholic school.
Oh, Catholic
what?
And Christian Catholic schools and Christian schools are totally different. A Catholic is
no,
a Catholic.
No, they're Christian. The Catholics, the Protestants, the Baptists, the what do you call it? The evangelicals. Most of them are Christian.
Well, I know the Catholics. They practice idolatry. You know, with the Mary and the saints and the beads and all those rituals.
Yeah, it's not really idolatry. We honor those people, but not as gods, not as nobody ranks with Jesus.
Oh, okay. So you're a Catholic.
I'm a Catholic.
Oh, okay. I'm glad you can straighten me out, because I went to Catholic school as a little girl. And then I graduated from a Catholic college here in New Jersey. And I learned some things about the Catholics, the history. And I was, like, shocked out of my mind, because I know they had a lot to do with slavery, the Catholics.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's another show. But talking about idolatry, and I used the word idolatry shrewdly, at least I thought I was, because this national anthem and this young football player that has refused to stand up
and
during the singing of the national anthem, he has opened up the can of worms when it comes to history. He didn't know that by standing for one thing, he would be standing for a much bigger purpose, that his protest is really moving way beyond his control and what he ever imagined it would take on. Now, the song, and I didn't know this, but I had researched that song about 3 or 4 years ago when I refused to stand. I was known to never to stand for that song. I worked in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a routine every morning. We had to hear the music, and we had to stand up. I would pray instead of saluting the flag and listening to that song. So I had a new duty one year, brand new duty in September. They put me in this office space with a whole bunch of first-year teachers, relatively new teachers. And just like, you know, like the Bible, when they hear the thong and the ringing of the bells, they jump up and they go through this ritual.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. So some of them are bold enough to ask me, why aren't you standing? You stand up. So I'm not. You know, I believe that's idolatry. I don't have allegiance to anyone but God. And I don't appreciate starting my day off talking about bombing and blowing people up. That's not how I want to start my morning, especially in these violent times. So I did some research, and I discovered that the anthem also excluded things about women, that they didn't want to use certain words because they didn't want to encourage women to look for their freedom and their rights.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the word. So I shared that blog with these young ladies, young teachers, and they were shocked out of their mind, and they respected me ever since and never bothered me again about standing up for that anthem.
That anthem.
Yeah, the anthem is wicked.
That standing for that anthem. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to refuse to stand now, not because of Black Lives Matter, but because they just don't like the man who wrote it. He was a slave owner. It's a lowlife, you know? So just like Bree brought down the Confederate flag, it's time for Kaepernick to bring down this this terrible song, this hideous song, and this man who wrote it. So we have to make these moments a teachable moment. Like I said, Colin Kaepernick, he is a quarterback for the 49ers. He has a $6 million contract, I'm pretty sure, if I'm right. He decided to donate the first $1 million of his salary to poverty, to help the impoverished.
Try to correct some of the problems that he noticed.
And he started off with, he gave some money to the Bronx and Harlem for backpacks for the little kids. So he made good with his promise. So we got
it. Putting his money where his mouth is. He's not just talking, he's doing.
Right. So they have an article out here. An article about Kaepernick. Anyway, I can't find it. He gave some money to the kids. Now, James Baldwin said some time ago, it comes as a great shock to discover that the flag to which you have pledged allegiance has not pledged allegiance to you. And he went on to say, while you're rooting for Gary Cooper to kill the Indians, you found out that the Indians are you. This is James Baldwin. James Baldwin is something else. So this is the part of the Star Spangled Banner. That's a problem. And I'm going to read an excerpt from an article that I read. The article cited by journalist Radley Balko cites the rarely sung third stanza of the national anthem, noting that the phrase "hireling and slave" refers to black slaves hired to fight on the side of the British during the War of 1812. And here's the words that they left out, and we don't sing. No refuge could save their hireling and slave from the terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph death waves over the land of the free and the home of the brave. All right? So that's the reference of the song that makes it wicked and evil, and so is the man who wrote it. So Kaepernick, he started something just like Donald Trump, not knowing anything about the Constitution and having Mr. Khan wave the Constitution in his face, you know, figuratively, is spearheading an educational moment. See, we think that what the devil makes for bad is going to make it bad, but in fact, when they keep talking and lying, they bring out all these lies and they leave a speck of truth in their lives. And truth seekers can take that mustard seed of a truth and make it into a truthful mountain and illuminate everybody. So we invite liars to keep talking, because this internet and this love of truth and this love of justice is making people do their own work, to do the research, to self-educate, and to get self-respect and, you know, all those great things because of liars. So let them keep yapping about who we are and lying about who we are, because we will find out who we are through these lies. So I wanted to share that story about Kaepernick.
Yes.
I'm glad, even if he didn't intend it to teach us about the history of the Star Spangled Banner, it came out, and he did his part, and hopefully he will be rewarded not just here on earth, but in heaven as well. So let's move on to one of my favorite posts, because this is a holiday weekend, and I always try to use a holiday as a way for us to celebrate. As black people, we have a lot going on, and when we want to party, we should party hard, because we work very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a book that used to be out called The Green Book, The Traveler's Green Book. Can you, do you, are you familiar with this book, Miss Nellie Johnson from Tuskegee?
I don't think so. It doesn't come to mind.
All right, God bless
nothing
you. Is that you sneezing?
No, I just got a little cough, a little tickle in my throat.
Okay, all right.
I'm not, there's nothing serious. I just got a little tickle in my throat.
Okay, well, you hear that
tickle. Probably from talking for the last hour.
Oh, okay.
Probably from talking for the last hour.
Okay, that's probably what it is. Well, the Green Book, and if you're interested in, say it again?
I heard of the Green Book we used to do, but it was downtown on Gold Street, Manhattan. No.
Okay. Okay, well, this Green Book was a traveler's guide for guess who?
Oh, uh-huh.
For us.
For Harriet Tubman?
Oh, no, no, not that far back. She better not have no Green Book and find it, and everybody be in trouble. No, this Green Book was from, I think it started in the late 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s. It was a traveler's book because blacks weren't allowed to share in public accommodations. So, of course, we created our own book to promote our own businesses. So while we traveled, we would know where all the black spots are. So let me just read it and give you this story formally. And if you like this story, you want to learn more about the history of the Green Book, go to the Schomburg, and they have a whole e-file, and you could download more information, the covers and everything. I chose to download this book. It looks like a picture of a little black boy on there. It says it's $1.95. It says The Traveler's Green Book Guide for Travel and Vacation. Hotels, motels, restaurants, tourist homes, vacation resorts, United States, Canada, Mexico, and the Caribbean. So I chose the headline, the story, as Recreation Without Humiliation. That was part of one of the articles in the book. Recreation Without Humiliation. That's sad, but it's true. We had to look for places to have recreation without being humiliated. And so this publication, like the Green Books and Travel Guide, came out of the tradition of Negro business directories, which were published by communities going back to the 19th century. They usually included churches, educational institutions, funeral parlors, insurance agents, and other professional offices, as well as small businesses that were owned and run within the black community. Directories often included several essays in the beginning for the book that would describe their purpose and highlight the most prominent endeavors of members of that city or town. Listings for the most important people and institutions were often full-page profiles with professionally shot photographs. They can be seen as both a utilitarian tool for helping people find black-owned businesses that would serve them in a way to promote the accomplishments of African Americans, their doctors, lawyers, clergy, and educational professionals. The directory says, "We are here in a number of ways." M.E. Shah's directory from 1950 from Wisconsin is part of this tradition. The book has the same kinds of listings traditionally found in Negro directories, like this one for the attorney. And then they have an image. So this was the book that African Americans used when they traveled through across the country out of the country. Yeah. And it had a list of black hotels.
You can find places to eat without being told to go around to the back door.
Right. And it was our places for us, made for us, by us, and all those wonderful things. Then I also have on my Facebook page, and again, you listen to The Gist of Freedom. I am Leslie Gist, L-E-S-L-E-Y-G-I-S-T is my Facebook page. You can listen to these recordings at www.blackhistory.org. com. And you're listening to my co-host, which is Nellie Johnson, and she is a Tuskegee alumni and our producer of the TNL radio is Miss Ellen, Grandma Ellen, we call her. So this show is being streamed in a podcast on different platforms. You can learn more about us on Facebook page at TNL Radio, too. So what was I about to say about before I said all those things? I forgot. Just that quickly.
Why are you getting your thoughts together? I need to apologize to Sion. We were on Sion. Your young man that was on.
Man you worked with, right?
No, the one that you worked with, that you had on your show last week. Stayed on until Donald was supposed to stay on until Donald Brown came on.
Oh, Zion.
Well, what happened was, we were on. My phone went dead, so he wound up being on by himself. So I want to apologize. I did not intentionally leave him. After what happened, my phone went dead, and by the time I got back into the line, he was gone. So I guess he realized he was there by himself and left. But we were trying to stay on until Dawn got there, but Dawn never showed up, didn't show up before my phone died.
Oh, okay.
So I just
all right. Well, I'm glad you
apology.
Said that. Well, I think we have a caller on the line, and I'd like to address some topics about this song. And we know that the song, history has been telling us some untruths about, you know, American history, trying to glorify it. There's several books.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite books is All the Lies My Teacher Ever Told Me. And we have someone on the line. Do you have a comment to make about the story about this hoopla over Colin Kaepernick, the football player, who refuses to stand and acknowledge the flag during the singing of the Star Spangled Banner? Caller from 973.
Hey, hello. Hello.
Caller?
Hi, how are you? Yeah, I have something to say. Excuse me?
Go ahead. Yeah, please. You're a little bit too low. We need to hear you. We can hardly hear you. Can you speak a little louder?
Okay, let me try. Okie dokie. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a book called I Love Paul Revere, Whether He Rode or Not, and about the flag. And they was talking about Americans today may worship the flag, but George Washington never carried the flag at battle, and John Adams didn't even know what it looked like. And far as the football players standing up and don't want to salute the song, I think this is America. He has the freedom to do that if he wants to.
That's right.
I don't understand the big hoopla about it.
I don't understand the big hoopla either.
No, I mean, if he has he has the freedom to do that.
Right.
Especially
back in the day when people were burning the flag, the Supreme Court said, It didn't represent this country. It represented freedom of speech. So all of a sudden now everybody wants to jump on Colin because he's exercising his freedom of speech.
And that's what he's practicing, his freedom of speech.
All right,
and he's allowed to do that.
Right, right.
What I don't understand is the local police saying they're going to refuse to protect them. They're going to protest. They're paid by the government, and they must do that.
They are part of the oppressor. They're part of the oppressor. So naturally they would have that problem because they see them as losing control.
Well, they're
gonna
lose that.
All right, so let's talk about that. This police saying that they're going to boycott. So let's go straight to a story so that we don't misquote anyone. And I'm reading from the NBCBayArea.com website. And it says, Santa Clara Police Union threatens boycott of 49ers games over Kaepernick protests. Now, the police unions are a serious problem. And I'm so happy that in New York City that the protests, the Black Lives Matter, protested against the police union. They went to their doors and they got what they wanted, and eventually the commissioner stepped down. So I think it's time that Black Lives Matter respond to the Santa Clara Police Union, who's threatening. Because every time we have an issue where a black person is killed, an unarmed black person is killed by the police, the first thing, including our black president, says is that not all cops are bad and we need to make sure they all get home safely. But every time they get an opportunity to prove that not all cops are bad, and that they have so many great cops, the great cops never come to the forefront. And even
they don't stand up and challenge their bad people.
Bad cops.
They know that there are bad, corrupt cops, but they don't stand up and challenge it.
Right. And this and this union is showing that they are troublemakers, that they're not really trying to protect and serve. You know, they don't know what the Constitution is, and for them to say that they are threatening to refuse to do their job, something that they normally do, but because a black man did something,
stood up and did a nonviolent
act, part of this American tradition, that they are not going to go to work.
And now check this out. Not only are they doing that, how many thousands of people that's there at that game? And they're talking about they're going to protest. They're supposed to protect all of those people. And they did the same thing with Bruce Springsteen, or whatever his name is, when he wrote that song about the 40 shots.
They don't deserve to be paid.
So there was a time it wasn't allowed to have a union. Do you remember that? There was a time in New York and mostly all over this country that policemen, anybody who worked for the city, worked for the public, was not allowed to have a union. That just happened within the last 40 years.
I don't remember that, but I remember when they didn't allow them to strike. And that would be technically to a strike if they refused to work. If they refuse to work, that's technically a strike.
They should have been fired. If I was in charge, everybody who didn't show up would have been fired. That's all. You protest, you get fired.
Right.
We're not paying.
What did you say, Ms. Ellen?
I remember it was in the post office also, because some of the people know that got fired. They didn't know that.
Right. And they joined. Right. So the police union's action is a boycott. A boycott is a protest. Right? So how can they protest against somebody for protesting? It makes no sense.
How about that?
You know, they want to have the right to protest, and they're getting paid to do this job, a boycott.
Yeah.
And we're paying them. Are they going to not get paid? They can protest all they want as long as they don't get paid. They can boycott as long as they forego their salary and give it to the black PAL. You know, if you're such good cops, and this is the argument, that not all bad cops, all cops are bad cops, these cops had introduced themselves into something that had nothing to do with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And
we need to acknowledge
that they are targeting us. They're targeting us as we are motorists walking down the street, shopping, driving. Now, if a millionaire football player who uses his profile, his platform, to say this is wrong. Now you're going to say anyone who attends his game is subjected to being unprotected. This is not that's not an American action.
And this has nothing to do with the police, actually. This has nothing to do with the police. The fact that he's not standing up for the national anthem has nothing to do with the police. He's not protesting the police. He's protesting the treatment of black people.
Right, right. So and what are you saying? Caller?
They tried to even put it on the, they tried to use the army to say that it's against the soldier because he's not doing that. So then now the police jumped on the bandwagon.
Well, who are you policing? And my thing is, who are you working for? It's becoming apparent that the police is a military force, and they are there to threaten us. They are they have a state. They're making our neighborhoods a police state, and now whenever we do anything, even if it's outside of their realm, they're coming to attack this man by saying we're not going to do our job because a black person is standing up for black people. So, you know, I don't want to harp on it, but it's a sad,
sad
commentary.
Have something to say. I
didn't get the idea that he stood up and said no. Black people are not allowed to say no. During slavery, we weren't allowed to say no, and now they don't want us to say no anyway.
Yes, I just want to say something about the time when they threatened. Well, they said the police was not going to work, wasn't coming to work, going to work because they didn't feel that they should be there if the people did not threaten them. People threatened them, and they wouldn't come to work. And they didn't want to work under that. And I say, if you're not willing to work under that, don't come in. That's my, you know.
That's
why
you
don't work, they shouldn't get paid.
Don't get paid.
If they don't work, they shouldn't get paid.
Yeah, let the black
everyone that refuses to work should not get paid.
Well, I'll tell you this. During the wintertime, whenever they have a game and there was a snowstorm before the game, they would hire people in the street to come in there and shovel that snow so that that game could continue. Mm-hmm. I think they should put the same advertisement out to say we need a military or we need a police force or we need some temporary security guard to do the job that the police refuse to do. And I'm pretty sure there would be a lot of black men who would be willing to take that temporary day's work and protect the stadium.
You're right.
I know one of them that's doing it Sunday. You are right.
Yeah, we need the money. We need the money. So if they want to act up and say they don't want to come to work, we will hire black men from all over the country to come in. They could be police. They could be police officers outside the district, so that they won't have any excuse to say that they're not qualified. But let some real good cops, you claim that you're out there. If you're really out there and you're listening, this is an opportunity to prove that you stand with us. This man hasn't done anything wrong except to say that I don't like what you're doing to my black people. And he has the right to say that without being threatened by the police. So for you good cops that you claim that you are on the force, this is a way that you can show that you are in allegiance with righteousness, with humanitarianism, with humanity. That's what we need right now. We need good people to do the right thing.
And
this is, go ahead, caller.
We should support him. We should,
I'm getting a jersey. This is so true. I'm buying his jersey. I have made a conscious decision to buy his jersey. His jersey is the number 7 for the 49ers, San Francisco 49ers. Buy his jersey. They're $100 because at the same time while we're buying his jersey, they started burning his jersey. The protesters on the other side started burning his jersey. Yes, they burnt his jersey. So when he's playing, if you want to show solidarity with Mr. Kaepernick, wear his jersey, Snapchat your photo with his jersey on. If you can't afford $100 jersey, if you can't afford $100 jersey, find something with his number or make a jersey with your red pen and your magic marker and stand with Kaepernick because he needs your support. And even though he doesn't have to be black, he could look. He looks like he could be Hispanic. He could pass for Arab. The point is, he does not have to identify with us. Once he lets that afro loose, and he doesn't have to wear afro.
Once he let that afro out, I saw him, I didn't think he was black. I didn't know what he was, but I didn't think he was black until they showed him yesterday, and he looked dark. Showed him darker and that afro, and I was like, okay. But the afro doesn't really prove he's black because a lot of those Arabs tend to have kind of hair like that.
His hair is curly. It's real curly.
Yeah. But he's really true. He's not letting you. We don't know what
right,
he is.
He says.
And that, go ahead.
I think he said he was biracial, but either way. If he's standing up for us, we should stand up for him.
Yeah, we have to stand up for him. Because he's risking his life. Mm-hmm. You know, he could go out driving, one of the cops could shoot him just like he shoot everybody else.
Well, that's what the cops are saying to him. In essence, that is the underlying message that they're threatening him because
we
know. What they're saying is we're known in this racial climate where they're shooting unarmed black men because they think that they had a gun or they think whatever, they're letting him know that, we got beef with you.
He's a target.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. They'd like to target anybody who stands up and speak out. You're endangering yourself. You become
a target.
He's
being bullied.
Yep.
He's definitely being bullied. I feel so sorry for him. So he needs to back out. He did his part at this moment. If I was his mother, his wife, his sister, I would tell him to pull back very quickly. He made his stand and go back to cutting his hair and put his cap on and let us handle it from here because we have to take the baton and we can't ask any and everybody to take their lives in their own hands. For our sake, we have to be courageous. So right now, buy his jersey. If you can't afford his jersey, make a jersey. If you can't get a jersey, get a cap. If you can't afford a cap, make a Kaepernick cap. So we're gonna move on from that story because that's getting pretty emotional. I know I'm very emotional about it. He loves his black people just like everybody on this line. We love being black, and we love our people. And it's very heart-wrenching to see someone like him stand up and then to be attacked. And
the rest of the guys,
call it names
not standing
and all kinds
up.
Of stuff. Mm-hmm.
And nobody on the team.
And they're trying to bully him.
Say it again, caller.
I said the rest of the teammates, none of them are standing up with him. They're standing up doing what they think is right.
They knelt down with him yesterday, I think.
Yeah, one didn't kneel down with him.
There was one guy that knelt down with him yesterday.
They need
but
to all kneel down.
Some of the team is saying, okay, he's right, but they're not willing to put their lives, put their livelihood on the line.
Their livelihood,
that's part of the problem.
Right.
They can't fire all of them.
I'm with you, but I'm not going to stand about there.
Yes, they can't fire all of them.
I understand.
The point is this. The way that they have the financial structure, the salary structure, and they did it very strategically. There's only three or four people that they call the face of the team. They get mostly 90% of the money, right? Then all of the supporting cast get peanuts, and they only play for an average of two or three years. And many of them don't have their college degree and so this is their big lottery ticket to be on that team with him, and they don't know how long they're gonna last. So he's not going to find any support with a player who
and
just
not
made
with
the team
them,
for
no.
1 year. No, he has to lock arms with other, what they call franchise, the word is franchise players. So he is the face. He's the face of the team. We don't know how much longer, but
right.
The supporting cast is indispensable. Don't shuffle those kids around like you know needs nothing. And, you know you
yeah,
need nothing. So
well, they need
yeah.
to invest.
So let's
in
try some. Yes,
they really
yes.
need.
But let's go to a lighter story. Wait, can you listen to one more story? All righty.
I'll
okay. Thank you.
Thank
you for listening. But we're talking about historic black-owned resorts, how we own black resorts and amusement parks and vacation attractions. And at one point, we had a book that told us how to find these places. And it was a great time. So I'm going to read an excerpt from the blog I posted. Historic, okay, Suburban Garden Amusement Park provided 7 acres of recreational haven for the regions of African Americans from 1921 to 1940. The park was located at 50th and Hayes Street, northeast in Deanwood neighborhood, near the National Training School for Women and Girls. Now, did you ever hear the movie, what was the name of that movie? I forget it. Deanwood. It has something to do with Deanwood. I'll come back to it. Well, this movie was shot and it was inspired by this location. Other historically owned black resorts include Fox Lake in Angola, Indiana. Fox Lake had numerous meetings. Black fraternities met there. It's a beautiful place. Another one on the list is Highland Beach, Maryland, founded by Charles Douglas in 1893. Gulfside Assembly in Waveland, Mississippi, founded in 1923 by Bishop Robert E. Jones. Right? Then we had the American Beach, founded in the 1930s by a black-owned insurance company. It flourished from the 1940s throughout the 1960s. Oak Bluffs, which is where Obama and them stayed, Oak Bluffs in Martha's Vineyard, Massachusetts, was a black settlement, and it also, to this day, it entertains African Americans. Idlewild, that's the one I was thinking about. Idlewild, you guys remember that movie Idlewild?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, Carla?
I've heard of it. I've heard of it. I didn't see it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, Idlewild is a black western, and it was in Michigan. We have Freeman Beach in Wilmington, North Carolina, Sag Harbor, which is still going strong, Bruce's Beach, Sag Harbor, New York, rather, Bruce Beach. So if you want to learn more about this list, go to my Facebook page, Leslie Gist, LeslieGist. Anyone have any comments? Have you ever visited a black resort?
No, I haven't. Actually, mm-hmm. I'm not a resort person.
A vacation? Well, my friend, her aunt had one up in upstate New York. And I got
mm-hmm.
to ask her when I was in, right after high school, we visited. And I didn't think it was a big deal, but now I do, so I'm going to ask if I can interview her. And I know the Johnsons out of Philadelphia, they had one. And there is a former judge, a retired judge. He had one in Pennsylvania. I think it was called Top Hill, Hilltop. And I don't know if it's still there, but it was there in the 90s. All right. So any comments on that story? We only have 6 minutes. Can you believe that? Only 6 minutes left?
Wow, time flies.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't have any problem.
I'm here. What'd you say?
I said that was interesting.
Oh, thank you, thank you. So I'll go on to another story. The Haymakers. Anybody know about the Haymakers?
What?
The Haymakers were a group of black women who were housewives, and they made it their business, and this was in the 1910s. They made it their business to do benevolent work and society work, and they were activists. So you could take a look at that story. And, of course, we have the U.S. Open is going down. Last week, I took my daughter and my niece to Arthur Ashe Day, and Dinkins, as I think we talked about that already, he built the stadium. We watched the stadium dome close, and that was that's about it. Oh, I know what we're talking about next. We're leading up to the opening of the Smithsonian. There's a great article in the Washington Post about Madam C.J. Walker's descendant, Miss Aaliyah Bundles, and how Aaliyah, the great-great-granddaughter, is doing all she can to preserve her family's legacy. And if you want to learn more about Aaliyah, they have a product line, a hair product. I'll let you ladies talk about Miss Madam C.J. Walker.
I was gonna talk about your trip to what's his name, Nat Turner's farm that you told us about last week. That they still hold on to that farm. The family still holds on to that farm, and they made it into like a state park or family park or whatever. So
they're trying to go and see
the place.
Okay, that's a very good point. That's why you're my co-host. All right, let's go pull up her number. Her name is Evelyn Sykes, and I'm going to give you her email right now. Let's see, where is that? Let's give up the number, her email. And it's crazy. I went to give her a call. You know, my cell phone deleted the number right there while I'm watching it. Just then. Yes, it did. I said, no way. So let me give out the email while I can. E-S. E as in Edward, S as in Sam, Hawkins. Hawkins at Verizon.net. E.S. Hawkins. Her name is Evelyn Hawkins. She's out of Richmond, Virginia. If you want to support Ms. Hawkins in the Nat Turner Farm, email her. If I had a number, I wouldn't give it out, but I don't have the number. Email Ms. Hawkins and tell her that you want to do whatever you can to help make that dream of hers become a reality. Because we need to celebrate. They have Busch Gardens in Virginia celebrating colonial slave times, having black people dressed up like slaves, reenacting plantation life. All right? These things must come to an end. If you want to dress up like slaves and make money, you have to pay us royally. I don't really want your money. I don't think it should be done. I can't imagine the Holocaust victims, descendants of Holocaust victims dressing up like slaves. I mean, like
people that got burned in. Uh-huh.
Right, doing reenactments of ovens, being burnt up in ovens. It's not going to happen. We should not be reliving and reenacting anything for these people, ever.
Right.
Now, we tell these stories in our private homes. We could purchase them for ourselves, plantations, and make them into sacred places to honor and pray for the people who struggled and died on these lands. But to sit there and let white people continue to make money off of these plantations is a travesty. It is disrespect to our people. And it is psychologically damaging to our children. There's no reason for black people to go visit. Not in the spirit of, you know, if you're going to visit, you better go and visit in the right frame of mind and heart. But not so they could get a proctor. You know, so along with that, Christians, Catholic school, acknowledging what they did, all of these sites should do the same thing. You know, I feel very strongly about that. So getting back to our story, Evelyn S. Hawkins at Verizon, eshawkins@verizon.net. Give her a call. Our time is up here. It was extraordinary. It went by super fast. I can't remember what I was going to talk about, and I know when I hang up, it's going to come to me. Oh, one thing I do know, we can't all get to the National Smithsonian African American Museum, but we can, and I hope TNL Radio has a viewing party. So when they have the dedication ceremony, that we can all watch it together as a TNL family in Brooklyn. So I encourage people all over the country that are listening, have your viewing party, watch the president cut the ribbon, see all the dignitaries. It is our VMA, Oscars, Tony, Grammys, all wrapped up in one. You know, we felt slighted because they didn't let us participate in one of those award shows. They didn't acknowledge us. Forget them. We don't need to be part of that.
This is going to be better. This is going to be a whole lot better.
And we have to make it better. We have to put the word out there that this is about to go down on Saturday the 24th. We have televisions. We have churches. We have wives. We have sororities, fraternities. Let's make this bigger than the Grammys and the Oscars and the Tonys. This is our history, you know, so we have to support it. So that's the show. Again, I'm Leslie Gist. You can go to www.blackhistory.blog.
I'm sorry. Could you take that from the top again for the 24th?
September 24th.
The opening of the museum.
Right. The National Museum in D.C., the Smithsonian African American National Museum. President Barack Obama will be cutting the ribbon for an opening ceremony and dedication. A lot of us cannot go. We can't afford to go. We can't get there. There's no hotels. There's no tickets available for us. But we can be there in spirit through television and through the internet. So we are encouraging people to have viewing parties. Get out those their soul food. Your soul have a brunch because it's in the morning. Get some pancakes, some eggs. Everybody bring some food. Turn on the big screen TV, Snapchat, Facebook, Instagram, tweet about it. And let the whole country know, the whole world know, that as black people, we love our history. We love our ancestors. We honor them for the struggles that they went through. We honor and praise God for letting us be here today and withstanding all these things. And we can do that by bringing ourselves together and letting the world know that we appreciate being here, that we are alive. We are survivors.
I need you to bring us up to speed with that. I'm for it all. I'm 100% for it. And just one more thing. That is eshawkins.net.
I know. eshawkins@Verizon. Verizon.net.
Okay.
All righty-o.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And you talk to your people at the church. Tell them we want to have a viewing party there.
Okay.
All right. Okay, everybody. Thank you. Have a great week.
Have a blessed weekend and a great week.
You too. Bye-bye.